We're going to look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 5 in particular. We focused on verse number 2 several months ago in one of the first of our spiritual health regimen lessons. And that's the one that a lot of people do focus on, but we're going to focus on verse 5, but we want to look at a couple of things in this chapter. The title of our lesson this morning, Bear Your Share. We need to understand that there are all kinds of burdens in this life. We talked last week about the scripture where Jesus says that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we understand that there are burdens that we bear, some of us physically. There are burdens that we may bear emotionally. There are certainly burdens that we have spiritually. There are burdens that we have mentally sometimes as well. So in every area of our life, we have these burdens that we're called on to have to deal with one way or another. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. We want to notice four different things this morning. First off, that there is often an emphasis on others. And Christianity certainly is a lot about serving others, isn't it? And that's certainly what the second verse of Galatians chapter 6 tells us. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This passage tells us that in order to be following Christ, in order to fulfill His law, we have to bear each other's burdens at those times when it's necessary to do so. We're not going to belabor that point because we have, as I said, already covered that. And if you want that, you can go back and get the lesson on that. But we do understand that. We know that we are supposed to help each other out. That's part of what being a family is. That's part of what being Christians is. And being brothers and sisters in Christ is all about. And of course, we also had studied in Galatians 6 where we're to do good to all. So even folks who aren't Christians, we're still supposed to help them. But here specifically, he's talking to Christians and he said, yeah, we're supposed to help carry each other's burdens at these times. Now that being said then, when we come down to verse 5, and he says, for every man shall bear his own burden, we say, well now wait a minute. In verse 2, you just said that we're supposed to bear each other's burdens, and now you're saying everybody's supposed to bear their own. Now, how's that going to work? Well, that's where our sometimes emphasis on others goes too far. Sometimes we go so far that we're actually helping someone with an area where they need to be doing it themselves. It's very understandable if you have a little two-month-old baby that somebody's going to be carrying that baby around all the time. That baby certainly can't carry itself around, and it can't walk and barely even move around much at that age. But what would happen, do you suppose, if there's a three-year-old child and the mother is still carrying that child all the time? You say, well, what's wrong? We say, well, we see a mother carrying a three-year-old child. We say, well, maybe, they were at the mall and they walked all day and the child's tired now, so the mother speaks. But what if the mother just carries the child all the time? What if it was a seven-year-old child? What if it was a 15-year-old teenager? What if it was a 30-year-old grown son or daughter? Well, then we'd start to say, that's ridiculous. They ought to be able to carry themselves by that point. They should be able to walk. At that point, by the time the fellow's 30, he may need to be carrying his mother instead of having her carry him. And we understand that in the physical world. Now we understand too, there might be some physical ailment There are certainly children who are born with certain diseases that make it where they never able to walk, and they grow to adulthood not being able to walk. And we understand that. But in a regular situation where the child is growing and developing normally, we understand that, hey, by the time that child's 2 years old, that little guy's going to be running all by himself, all over the place. Maybe mama's holding him to keep him from running out in the street. I don't know. But we'd understand that it would not be normal for a child as they continued to grow to continue to be carried all the time. Well, the same is true spiritually. When we've got a newborn Christian, we're going to have to carry that baby sometimes. But what about when they're 3? What about when they're 7? What about when they're 15? What about when they're 30? Are we still carrying them? Somebody's been a Christian for 15 years, and yet somebody's still got to be carrying them all the time spiritually? Something's wrong. And that's what Paul's getting at in the second part of this verse. Every man should bear his own burden. He says at some point, everybody's got to walk and stand on their own 2 feet. That's a spiritual necessity just as much as it is a physical necessity. Now what we've got to understand is, what happens if that mother carries that baby all the time and she continues to do that till that child is 3 or 4 or 5 years old? What's going to happen to that child? Well, those little leg muscles aren't going to grow, are they? They're going to atrophy, and you're going to have a 3 or 4 or 5-year-old child who can't walk because they've never been given the opportunity to move and crawl and stand up and fall down. And sometimes that's what we do. We see we're trying to protect people. But in trying to protect them, sometimes we go too far. And we actually hinder their development. Have you ever seen a butterfly coming out of a cocoon or a little baby chick coming out of its egg? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I'll tell you this about it. When that's happening, if you help, you'll kill it. If you try to, oh, that poor butterfly, I mean, little tender butterfly with those little delicate wings, and I just, yeah, let's peel that cocoon open for that butterfly. You know what? That butterfly's going to die. Oh, that chick, that little chick's trying to get out of that egg. Well, let's go ahead and crack the egg open and let him out. You'll kill him. Butterflies, birds, when they're getting out of those things, they are gaining strength that they need to survive. And if they're not strong enough to get out of that shell, they're not strong enough to survive in the outside world. And if you get them out of there before they're ready by helping them and doing something that they should do for themselves, you'll ruin it. Well, the same God that made that natural world that way designed the church and designed the spiritual laws that govern the church. And if we sometimes try to push somebody into a situation that they're not ready for, or if we try to shelter them from something that they need to do for themselves, and we try to do it for them all the time, then we're going to kill them spiritually. Now, this is what happened in church history. If you look back to church history, what happened was that at some point there, the idea of all of the members of the congregation studying the Word of God slipped by the wayside, and they began to have what was often called the clergy-laity system, where the clergy, the preacher in other words, was the only one who ever studied the Bible. And then he came and he told everybody else what to think and what it said. And they couldn't think for themselves and they couldn't read for themselves. In fact, it was several hundred years there where the common average member of the church just couldn't even see the Bible. Well, it destroyed a whole lot of people spiritually because they weren't able to do that. God expected everyone to be able to know what the Bible said to hear that word and to believe that word and to obey that word on their own. And when somebody else decided, well, I'm going to read it and I'm going to understand, but then I'm going to tell you what to do and tell you what it says, and you won't be able to read it for yourself, that didn't work too well. And that's why we always encourage everyone, open your Bible, read the scriptures that we're reading, see if what it says makes sense to you, see if what I'm saying fits with what the Bible says, because we don't want to fall into that same trap again. Now see, they were trying to help the people, because you know, you had a lot of people who couldn't read and write, so they were trying to help, oh, I'm going to help you understand. Well, we all do need help sometimes. But there are some burdens that we have to bear for ourselves. I may not be able to read it, but I may need somebody to read it to me, but I've still got to obey it for myself. Let's look, as we look at these two verses, that sometimes seem to be contradictory, because it says, bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And then it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let's look at the fact that there are two different Greek words. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can look in the Strong's Concordance and look these up for yourself. You can look in a Greek and English interlinear Bible and you can see that there are two different words here. And I like the fact, Quinn read the New King James, I believe it is, and I like the fact that in the New King James it actually does translate them differently. It translates the first one burden and it translates the second one as load. And I that's good, because it is two different words. Sometimes, you know, we're done a disservice when the translators translate two different words with the same English word, because it's not the same thing. In fact, the first word in chapter 2 is the word baros. Baros. And that's the word for a burden that's just too much to bear. It's too heavy. And there are a few verses where this word is used. Matthew 20 and verse 12, in the story of the laborers. One of the laborers complains to the owner of the vineyard when it comes time to get paid, and everybody got paid the same. He says, now wait a minute, these guys only worked an hour, and you've made them equal to us, and we have borne the burden and the heat of the day. So he said, we've had to be out there in the sun all day working and sweating, and we've done the lion's share of the work, and yet they're getting the same pay. Now, of course, Jesus wasn't dealing with fairness in that, other than to say, hey, you agreed to do it for this amount. What's the problem here? You're getting what you bargained for. But notice that the use of that word burden. He said, you know, we had too much to bear. In Acts 15 and verse 28 is another place where this word is used. Here the disciples are trying to decide what they're going to do about the Gentiles who are becoming Christians. James has said in verse 10, now why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? See, here we are. We're talking about some burdens. He's talking about putting a yoke on their neck. And then down in verse 28, they've written these letters then, and in the letter they say, here's what we had to say. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. You see, the apostles were in a position of authority in the church, and they could have piled all sorts of burdens on the people. There's somebody in history who liked to do that. We call those folks Pharisees. Well, they like to pile the burdens on. They like to just make you want have to do everything. But they said, no, we're not going to put so much of a burden on you that you can't handle it. Only what's necessary. And then they list the necessary things. To stay away from food sacrificed to idols and from eating blood and from meat that had been strangled and from sexual immorality. was the things that they taught. You stay away from those things. And he said, you know, that'll keep you busy for a long time. Once you get to where you can handle that, then maybe we'll give you something else to think about. But we've got to understand that's a burden, too much to carry, too much to bear. And that's the word that's used in Galatians 6:2. When he says, bear ye one another's burdens, what he's saying is, when somebody has a load that's too much for them, then we help carry. And we've all been there, haven't we? Oh, you know, it's not just the day-to-day thing. It's when everything piles on all at once. It's when, like the Rainey family is dealing with this week, when there's a death in the family. It's too much for one person to bear that by themselves. It's when there's some sort of an emergency, maybe a house fire or a robbery or a car wreck or an injury or an illness that takes away from us what we're normally able to do. And then we have that emergency and we need somebody to help because we can't do it ourselves at that point. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, bear you one another's burdens. But now, let's look at that second passage. In verse 5 where it says, for every man shall bear his own burden. And this word is a word that when you spell it out in English, when you use the English letters instead of the Greek letters, looks a lot like our word portion. That's actually fortion or fortion in the Greek, but it looks a lot like the word that we use, that's portion. So in other words, he's saying, hey, everybody, bear your share. You do your portion. Now we think about that. I remember one preacher from Africa. He came to the United States, and they went to Pizza Hut or somewhere. They ordered the big huge pizza, the largest one. You know, and they came. They set that thing on the table, and he looked at it and he said, "I can't eat all that." And they said, no, you're not supposed to eat all that by yourself. We're all going to take pieces of it, and we'll all eat it together. And he said, you know what? He said, everybody take a piece and eat it, and then, you know, get another piece and eat it. And he said, before long, it was gone. We ate it all. And that's the way it is when we divide things up into portions. We see a job, we say, there's no way I can do all that. No, of course not. Just do your portion. Just do your part. And we all do our part, then it's going to be okay. And that's the idea of the load here. The second term that in the King James's burden here is that you just do your part. Do what's your responsibility to do. Don't try to take on everybody else's responsibility. It'll kill you. You can't do it. You take your responsibility and you do them. Now what happens though sometimes is that sometimes we have folks who aren't carrying their own load. And so somebody's got to carry that load. And that means somebody's going to be carrying their load plus somebody else. Well, you think about it, in the Army. Ann can tell you, well, when they go on those hikes and they got those packs on and they got all the equipment on, and they got their vests on and they got their gun and they got, you know, they these big old heavy boots. And it's tough. Now, try carrying yours and somebody else's on one of those big long hikes. Can't do that. But that's what we do to each other sometimes when we don't do our share. When we don't do what we're supposed to do, we wind up, somebody has to get that done. And we put that extra load on somebody else. So we need to bear our share of the load so that others don't have to do it. Other than Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5, Jesus uses this term in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30. There he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice he didn't say that he's not going to give us a burden. He's not going to give us a load to bear. But what he does say is it's light. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. Now, what we've got to understand then as we look at each other is some folks are stronger than others and can bear a bigger load. When Abby and I go to the grocery store, and we get, instead of the big cart, we just get one of the little handheld baskets, and she wants to help carry it, and she grabs one side, and I grab the other side. Who do you think's carrying most of the weight when we put a jug of milk and a jug of juice in there? You think she's carrying that weight? No. Is she helping? Sure she is. She's holding her side. But she's doing the most that she can do. If I tried to give her the whole thing, why, she couldn't even, wouldn't even be able to pick the thing up. And Jesus understands that too. God knows how much we can carry, and He knows how much strength we have. So He's going to make sure that He's carrying the bulk of the load and just giving us the burden that we can bear. And we take up our cross daily and follow Him. We shoulder our load. And we bear that load. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not that there's not going to be a burden, but it's not going to be more than we can bear. It's going to be a light burden that we can take care of. And again, that fits with us as Christians because, you know, a newborn babe in Christ certainly can't carry the same load that someone who's been a Christian for 20 or 30 years ought to be able to carry in spiritually or as far as teaching or in even in studying. Why, they're still on the milk of the Word. They hadn't gotten to the meat of the Word yet. So we need to think about that and realize that, not expect more of others than they're able to bear. I was talking with someone this week about that very thing. Just last night we were talking about that. Say, you know, I got to be careful not to expect this other person to do what I'm doing because I've been doing it longer. And that's true. We get into the habit of that. We get in the habit of expecting other people to be the same as us, and they're not the same as us. So we need to understand that there are two different Greek words here and how they relate to us. Now, there are burdens that we should bear. There's a load that we ought to all bear. And here's a few of them. And we're not going to go through everything, but to work. We all need to carry our share of the work. Now, it may be a job, you know, where you actually get paid for work. We'll talk about that. But it may be, you know, in a household, there's housework that needs to be done, and everybody needs to do their part. Now, you've got to be careful with that because sometimes there's some disagreements about that. You know, I remember once when Dawn and I hadn't been married for too long, we got in discussion about that, and she said, well, I want you to do this and this and this to help me in the house. I said, okay, well, are you going to mow the yard for me then? She said, well, I didn't think about that. But yeah, that's part of the work around the house too. Well, you know, she has mowed the yard a time or two. but she doesn't like it too well. She'd rather stay in there and fold the clothes than get out there in the heat and mow the yard. We have to understand that we have to divide up the duties of the home that needs to be done. And it has to be such that we come to an agreement on who's going to do what and how it's going to be done. I know some of you ladies love mowing the yard. You get out there and mow the yard. You'd rather mow the yard than wash the dishes. But some, it's the other way around. You know, we've got to work that out. We've got to deal with that. Because the work's got to be done, and somebody's going to have to do it. So we have work that we have to do. We have a family that we have to provide for. And that may be, you know, providing for them financially. It may be providing for them physically, their physical needs, you know, cooking them dinner or getting them something to eat or whatever. It may be emotionally, giving them hugs or reading little children's stories or, you know, there's all sorts of things that go into that. It may be an elderly parent who needs care or another member of the family who's sick who needs some special care. But we have family that we provide for. Then we are to each be responsible for our own living expenses. And we need to understand that. You know, we all understand that there are emergencies that happen. And there may be times where things, you know, just snowball on us and run us down, and we need some help from somebody else. But just our month-to-month, regular, this is the way things have been and are and keep going, we need to take care of that. We need to understand that that's our responsibility. And we understand, too, that sometimes that's part of that family responsibility. You know, the Bible talks about if a widow has children, those children are to provide for the widow before the church and those kind of things. And then we're all responsible to bear the burden of our own obedience to God. I can't obey God's commands for you, and you can't obey God's commands for me. We each are responsible to bear our own burden in that respect. And you know what? Some of us would get a lot better sleep at night if we'd realize that. We worry night and day about somebody else not doing something they're supposed to do. Now, we do have a responsibility to go to that individual and to teach them what the Bible says. But after that, we need to drop it. We need to let them do what they're going to do, either whether they're going to obey it or not obey it. But for us to waste our lives away worrying about it doesn't do them any good or us any good. We'll wind up losing our own soul because we spent the whole time worrying about whether somebody else was doing what they were supposed to do or not. I saw this a lot with T-ball. The little children, you know, coach like little 4 to 6 year old girls at softball, and there would always be one. She'd be worried because this other girl didn't have her shirt tucked in, or she didn't have her sock pulled up. And while she was all worried about what the ball would get hit and go right past her, you know, because she's so worried about everybody else. Well, she's not worried. You need to move over here. You need to stand. And the ball, there goes the ball right past her, because she was more worried about the other person than she was about doing what she was supposed to be doing. Isn't that what Jesus said when he said, first take the beam out of your own eye, and then you see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye? So we need to think about those things. When it comes to obedience to God, we've got to do it for ourselves. But then we've got to understand, finally, that there are some burdens that we cannot bear. And that's going back to the first part of that in verse 2. There's some burdens that there's just no way we can bear them. Let's think about it. Forgiveness of sin. There's no way. There's no way I can bear that myself. There's no way I can forgive myself of my sins. It doesn't work that way. The story is told of a fellow who had a dream of an old man cutting down. He'd cut down some sticks and pile them on his pile, and then he'd try to lift it and he couldn't lift it, and he'd set it back down, and then he'd cut some more sticks and pile them on top, and then he'd try to lift it, and he couldn't lift it, and he'd set it back down, and he'd cut some more and pile it on top. And as a dream, he asked the Lord, he said, what does this mean? What is this about? And the answer was, well, this is what most people do with their sins. They try to handle their sins themselves, and it's too much for them, and so they set them down, and they get frustrated, and they give up, and they give in to more sin, and so that sin gets piled on top, and then they try to pick that, and it's too much. There's some burdens that we just can't bear on our own. We can't pick those up. There's no way that we can atone for our own sin. And at best, if we try, the result will be is, we will face the punishment and the consequences of our sins, which is eternal death and separation from God. That's, if we try to handle that one ourselves, that's what the result will be, because we can't do it. We can't handle the burden of other people's sins or guilt. The Bible is very clear that each soul is responsible for their own sins. The soul that sins, it shall die. It's not, you know, I know that there are some responsibilities. We see that in Galatians 6. If a man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. But you know what? We can go to them and go to them and go to them. We can't make them do right. There's no way. Now, you know, we have the responsibility to go and to teach. And I should have mentioned that when I had it down here. Teaching others, that's our responsibility. But that's the end of the responsibility, is to teach them and to encourage them and try to help them if they're willing. But what are we going to do? Go put a gun to their heads and say, now look, you straighten up or else? About all that it accomplishes, either we'd break that threat, would become nothing but an idle threat, or else we'd become murderers. Because they're going to do what they're going to do. But we've got to understand that we can't bear others' sins or guilt. And then we talk, too, about the emergency situations that arise in life. When there's an illness, and we just can't. When there's a death in the family, and it's just emotionally, and it's just too much. When there's some other kind of an emergency, and it may be a financial emergency, maybe the loss of a job, or you know, maybe the loss of a house or something, you know, or some other property, those kind of things. When those things happen, those emergencies hit, then we need someone to lean on. But when it comes to everyday life, we need to be responsible for ourselves. This is a very important thing for us to realize. Our society, more and more, and even in the church as well, everybody expects somebody else to do it for them. Now, let me tell you, that's a failed system. It will not work. At some point, there won't be enough people doing their own to help the ones that need help. We've got to understand, it's not somebody else's responsibility to bail me out of every stupid decision I make. It's my responsibility to learn from the stupid decision I made and from the pain that followed it and not make that same decision again. But then there are some things that are beyond our control. You know, that's one thing we think about, something like insurance. That's why we have insurance. You know, that's why we may have insurance on a house or on a car. Because, if I got into a wreck with somebody who had one of these $30,000 or $40,000 cars, I know I couldn't buy them a new one. That's why I have insurance. Because I couldn't do it. And so the other people who have insurance policies, they pay in their part, I pay in my part, and we share then the difficulty of when there is an accident like that and somebody's car has to be replaced or somebody has to go to the hospital and it's thousands of dollars. You know, and that kind of, you know, not most of us couldn't just say, oh, okay, yeah, let me write you a check for that $40,000 car so you can go buy a new one. Huh, can't do that. And that's the purpose of insurance. And that's the same kind of thing that the Bible is teaching us here. We're here for each other. A security net, an insurance group of sorts. Not necessarily financially, but sometimes that's the case. But spiritually and emotionally and physically for each other, we're here. But then we need to understand, you know what they call it when somebody who isn't supposed to get some insurance makes a claim? They call that insurance fraud. And that's what we have sometimes. Sometimes we want somebody else to do the thing that we can do for ourselves and should do for ourselves. And we've got to grow up a little bit. We've got to learn to take responsibility for ourselves. The Bible certainly teaches us to help each other out. But just as much so, it teaches us the idea of taking care of yourself, doing what you need to do. So let's work on that and try to do a better job of taking care of the things that we can take care of. Because you know what else happens? Let's say you come to me every day. And when I was in school, this happened. There was somebody every day. They would go around from table to table bumming money for lunch every day. They always ask, give me a nickel, give me a quarter, so I can buy lunch. If you come to me every day asking me for lunch, Every day. And you do that for 5 years. Every day you come asking me for lunch. I'm going to get tired of it after a while. I'm going to start saying, now wait a minute, when are you going to get your own lunch? Now it's different if I invite you to lunch every day. That's a different story. But when you come expecting lunch and asking for it every day, that's a different story. But then what's going to happen? When you've bugged people and gotten them to do all these things that you should have done yourself, and then what's going to happen when you have a real need? Then what? Then those people are going to be fed up with helping you, and they're going to say, you know what, I've helped you all, and I can't help you anymore. And they're going to, and then you're gonna, when you really have the need, you're going to be stuck. Because you've milked it for too long. Kind of like the little boy who cried wolf. You remember him? He kept hollering, wolf, wolf, until everybody would come running. And there wasn't a wolf there. He did that a few times, and they finally got tired of coming running when really, oh, well, there wasn't really a wolf. I was just thirsty. Can you get me a cup of water? You know, that kind of thing. And finally, when the wolf really came, and he hollered, wolf, wolf, and everybody said, oh, he's just crying wolf. And the wolf ate him up and ate up the sheep, and you know, and that was the end of him. We've got to beware of that. We've got to watch out for and not take advantage of the kindness of our fellow Christians. Not take advantage of it so that when they do need it, when we do need it, people will be glad to give it. Instead of feeling like they're giving grudgingly. And the Bible tells us, and I know he talks about giving to God, but the same when we give to each other. We're to give cheerfully. If I feel like you nagged me into giving you something, I'm not giving cheerfully, am I? If I feel like, well, I'm giving it to you because I've got to give it to you, I'm doing it grudgingly and not cheerfully. But if you've never, you know, if I know, hey, you know what, if they're asking, they really need it, then I'll be cheerfully give you what I can, if I can. You know, obviously, we talked about that when we talked about the opportunity. If we don't have it, we can't give it. But if somebody that comes all the time, you're not going to do it cheerfully. You're going to do it grudging. They're going to feel like, of necessity, well, I've got to because I'm a Christian, so I've got to help them out. But when they only come every once in a while, when there's really a severe need, we say, man, I'm glad to help somebody out when they need help. So the attitudes of the people around us is going to change based on whether we're bearing our own share of the load or not. Whether they cheerfully help us when we need help. And don't we want people to be cheerful around us? I mean, do we want somebody helping us out of that feeling of necessity and they just got to do it? Because that's we'll all be miserable then. So let's keep that in mind. And bear our own share of the burden and help others when they need it. And then when we need it, be willing to get help from them. Now hopefully, we don't all need help at the same time. that's the idea, that each of us can help each other one along the way. As you know, one has a tough time and the others can help them make it through that. And then another one and so forth. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, whether it be an initial obedience to the gospel, that load of sin you cannot bear yourself. Bring that burden to Jesus and let Him wash you clean in the waters of baptism through His blood. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you've not been bearing your share of the load, or perhaps on the other hand, you've been carrying somebody else and not letting them stand on their own two feet, then that can be just as harmful. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.